Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Divine Parables, a series here on the Qalam podcast, which explores the metaphors, the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us within the Quran. Mufti Hussein Kamani will go through in depth an analysis of all the different parables that are present within the Quran. So inshallah, go ahead, listen, benefit, share with family and friends, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Before we get started with the session, once again, I wanted to remind everyone that alhamdulillah, Qalam is dedicated to bringing this kind of understanding and knowledge of Islam to each and every single person all around the world. We ask you to become our partners in this endeavor by supporting the work that Qalam does by going to supportqalam.com. Supportqalam.com. Go there, contribute, donate, become a sustainer, and have this as a sadaqah jariyah. Every single person that will listen, that will learn, that will benefit from it, you will have the reward of that. Jazakumullahu khairan. Now let's get on with the session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. Today we take a look at Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 20, 21, and verse number 22. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ. O those who have believed, obey Allah and His Messenger. وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ, and do not turn away from Him. وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ, while you hear. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. And do not be like those who say that we have heard, while in reality they are not listening. إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ السُّمُّ الْبُكْمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Indeed, the worst of living creatures in the sight of Allah are the deaf and dumb who do not use reason. Now when we look at these verses, we see the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us towards in verse number 20 is obedience to Allah and His Messenger, which could be summarized as submission to revelation. That what you're being told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you're being told by His Messenger, is what you need to do. You shouldn't be thinking of what's suitable for you if revelation is telling you to do something very different. Sharia is about accommodating people. But at the end of the day, you have to realize that in order for revelation to have a spiritual impact on people, the individual who is receiving this revelation, who is acting upon this revelation, you and I, we need to be okay with being uncomfortable while acting upon that revelation. Everyone here will agree that it's not easy on any person to stay awake at 11 o'clock at night, knowing that tomorrow you have to fast and pray salah, 20 rakat taraweeh or 8 rakat taraweeh or whatever taraweeh you're praying. This is not easy. But this is what revelation tells us. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. This wasn't the example of the companions. Umar radiallahu anhu instituted a jama'ah that was led by a companion, and people gathered together and prayed tarawih publicly in one gathering, and Umar radiallahu anhu praised that gathering. So we have to learn to be okay when it comes to being a little uncomfortable with revelation. Always finding loopholes and looking for a back door out and trying to, cop out of what revelation and what Allah is telling us to do will hurt you spiritually in the long run. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He then says, وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ, and do not turn away from Him. Shaykh Mutawalli al-Sha'rawi, while commentating on this verse, he brings a very interesting point. He says, if you look at the first part of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to do two things. أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. Obey Allah and His Messenger. So Allah is telling us to obey how many people here? Two. Himself and His Messenger. But then later on in the verse, rather than continuing to use the dual, he goes to a singular. He should have said, or someone could have argued, وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُمَا وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ. But rather Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ. Instead of saying, do not turn away from both of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not turn away from him. وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ while you are hearing. While commenting on this point, he says, لِأَنَّ تَعَةُ الرَّسُولِ هِيَ تَعَةُ اللَّهِ That because obedience to the messenger in reality is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The messenger of Allah will not teach you something that is other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you to do. You know, people, they say, I follow the Quran, that's all I'm going to follow. They're assuming that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't following the Quran, that's why they're saying we're only going to follow the Quran. It's very obvious, he was following the Quran. So when I say as a Muslim that I'm following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what I'm implying is, I'm obviously following the Quran in its fullest scope. And this statement could also easily be extended. You know, a person says that I wish to follow the understanding of Islamic law as presented by Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Or I wish to practice the Islamic tradition as understood by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, who was a grand muhaddith, or Imam Shafi'i, or Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. This is okay, because these people, they're trying to understand Islam through the light of the Quran and Sunnah. If anyone says that I'm not going to follow these people because I'm following the Quran and Sunnah, that creates like this very interesting framework. It's as if you're claiming, I'm going to follow the Quran and Sunnah because what they were following was something other than the Quran and Sunnah. And that's a very broad accusation. It's as if a person is saying that these scholars, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, sat down, he read everything that the Quran and Sunnah said, and then told his students, this is what we aren't going to do. We're going to do something very different. We're going to make sure we turn away from the Quran and turn away from the Sunnah. Very clearly, that wasn't their agenda. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi taught hadith his entire life, and then incorporated that into the fiqh. Actually based the fiqh off of the hadith to be more respectful. Right? He bases the fiqh off of the hadith because he understands this hadith is represented with these principles in this way. This is why personally when someone says this to me, it kind of irks me and itches me a little, because it seems like an accusation is being made against Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi that I'm going to follow the Quran and hadith, not his fiqh. Another issue is that many people forget to realize that most of the madahib that people follow, the Hanbali fiqh, the Maliki fiqh, the Shafi'i fiqh, the Hanafi fiqh, they assume that these fiqhs are attributed to an individual and an individual alone. The Hanafi fiqh is not a composition of solely the opinions of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Anyone that assumes this really doesn't understand Islamic law at all. If someone says this to you, you need to tell yourself, this person doesn't know much. Because Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi's fiqh, his law is based on principles that he developed, but the fiqh and the rulings himself were developed over 1,000 years. And in particular, if we want to be a little bit more technical, it was produced by a group of people who sat with him and went through each issue one by one, going through them. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi would give fatwa after sitting in a gathering and discussing every issue in the presence of 40 scholars. Amongst them were the Nahwis, amongst them were the Sarfis, amongst them were the Falasifa, amongst them were the Mantiqis, amongst them were Ahlul Hadith. They were all of his students that were there. And each of them contributed. So anyone that says that the Hanafi fiqh belongs to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, if they mean the principles were established by Imam Abu Hanifa, that's a factual statement. If they mean that all of the rulings therein were his rulings, that's not a true statement. Because many times we give a fatwa on another scholar's opinion within the Hanafi fiqh, and the same applies to the Maliki fiqh, the same applies to the Hanbali fiqh. Majority of the fiqh is established on Ibn Qudama and Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahumullah ta'ala. These are people who clearly were not Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and so on and so forth. The Shafi'i fiqh is greatly established on the opinion of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi. He clearly was not Imam Shafi'i, he was a different person. The point I want to make is this. These schools of thoughts were not just a person that was sitting down and dictating rulings and everyone was just writing them down. This was a collective effort. This was something that was done and studied and thoroughly revisited for a millennium, for 1,000 years. They continued to go and study it further and study it further and study it further. And the truth is, the differences that these scholars held was nothing short than a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah. Sheikh Muhammad Awama, in his book Adab al-Ikhtilaf, addresses this issue in great detail, and he very emphatically, with great references, establishes the healthy nature of difference of opinion amongst Muslim scholars. So let's go back to the verse. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa rasulahu. All those who believe, be obedient to Allah and His Messenger. Wa la tawallaw anhu, and do not turn away from Him. Because even the Messenger of Allah is only representing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing on him. He's not coming with anything new. وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ while you hear. Because it's very sad that a person turns away from reality, from a truth, after they can hear it. Some people, they've made their mind up before they even enter into a conversation. They've made their mind up. You are not going to college in another state. Now you can sit there and produce all the arguments you want, but they've already made their mind up. This is how some people unfortunately address Sharia and Quran and Revelation. Before they've even entered into the room, they've made their mind up. That I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to pray Taraweeh. I'm not going to fast in Ramadan. I'm not going for Hajj. Now you can tell that person all you want to that this is what Allah is telling you. They're not going to listen. Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. Don't be like those who have heard, but they actually aren't listening. They think that listening is to do with a sound entering into their ears, and that's what Allah is telling you to do, to listen. No. Listening in our deen, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making this command that you need to listen, it means for you to act upon what you're listening. For you to fulfill the muqtada, the desired response of what you hear. That hearing is the beginning of your seeking of knowledge. You know, this is where your nafs feeds from. This is where your heart feeds from. This is where your shu'ur and your wujud. This is where your lataif and this is where your heart feeds from what you hear from another person. What you hear from revelation. So when you hear, make sure you act. In the last verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ السُّمُّ الْبُكْمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Indeed, the worst of the dawab. Dawab in the Arabic language refers to كُلُّ مَا يَدُبُّ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. Anything that walks on the earth, anything that walks on the land, you call it dawab. That's why some scholars have easily translated إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِ as all of Allah's creation. However, وَلَكِنَّهَا خُصَّتْ عُرْفًا بِدَوَاتِ الْأَرْبَعِ. Some scholars, they say that even though it does generally mean anything that walks on the earth, but in language it's been specified for any animal or any creature that walks on fours. This is what they generally call dawab. Nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed the worst of living creatures in the sight of Allah are the deaf and the dumb who do not use reason. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alluding to the very same point he mentioned previously, that hearing isn't enough, we need you to listen. Speaking isn't enough, you need to act upon what you're saying. Some people, they speak and they listen, but they're not using their reason in the process. And these are the worst of Allah's creation because they are misusing these great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, these very same ears will testify against you on the Day of Judgment. As we read today in the Taraweeh prayer, right? أَلْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah will command on the Day of Judgment, O mouth, be sealed. And it's as if these lips will become one, like the cheek. There will be no lips. It'll just be one straight skin. الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Their mouths will be sealed off. Then Allah will turn to the hand and say, speak. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ. And Allah will tell the feet, testify. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And the mouth may be used to lying, and it may attempt to lie to Allah, but the rest of these limbs will never be disloyal and never lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even this mouth won't lie to Allah. How can any limb that was created by Allah, any of Allah's creation, dare lie to Him? This is the insan that's misusing this beautiful gift. Our teacher used to say, know that your body has been commanded by Allah to be obedient to you as long as it's in the world. But the moment you leave the world, when you stand in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment, this body will have no loyalty to you either. Its loyalty will return back to its creator, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a reality you must always remember. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from people who understand the deen, who are willing to act upon the deen, who are listening attentively with the intention to practice and implement, who respect the Qur'an and the Sharia and this tradition and Islam at large. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from those who protect it, preserve it, and convey it. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.